This is the Day Zero update for November 20th, 2016. I'm Flip Logan Alpha.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Dan Reb Victoria.
And we're a week away from Black Friday. We did a little bit of a preview of what you could look forward to on Let's Weekend. Some pretty good deals happening, and you know, then it turned into why retail sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah. If you've ever had to work retail during a Black Friday, it's kind of like a bunch of Vietnam veterans trading war stories around the table.
Yeah. So, yeah, that happens.
And in the end, retail just gets exactly what they ask for.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, Pat, you got out just in time, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was quite pleased with that. It took longer than I'm proud of for the realization to hit me that I was never going to work a Black Friday again. But once I did, that was just best feeling in the world.
Well, technically, you might still work a Black Friday, but you don't actually have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, I will be working Black Friday this year, but not in a setting that is pertinent to Black Friday.
Yeah. So
I'm just going to be sitting in front of a computer in a relatively extremely calm office building, placing occasional phone calls to utility providers. Hmm. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, that works. Especially since most of them aren't going to really be around that day anyway.
They're not going to answer the phones.
So you're good. Yeah. So,
I am going to be about a mile removed from the nearest Lord of the Flies setting, so I am completely okay with this arrangement. just cannot convey enough how much of a relief it is.
Yeah.
Mm.
So yeah, if you're going shopping on Friday, good luck. Hopefully the deals are worth it. But just stay home and buy stuff online. It's easier that way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but that's later this week. For now, we should probably talk a little bit about what we were planning and doing this week. Kind of start us off, you know, because I haven't been doing a heck of a lot of gaming-wise. It's just been the latest, you know, the standbys, Defense Grid, and, Rock Band Rivals. Mostly that's because I've been watching a lot of gaming documentaries on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good stuff on there.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar with Kim Justice, he does a YouTube channel. He does a lot of computer-related documentaries, and he's got a bit of a UK slant to it, because, well, obviously he's from there. But, a lot of good stuff there. Just finished up his three-parter on Jack Tramiel, also known as the Prince of Darkness. He was not a very savory person. Just put that out there. But yeah, so that's kind of been, what I've been doing. How about you, Pat?
My gaming time has also been limited just by a few things surrounding getting settled into my new job and everything. As time has permitted, I've been playing a little bit of Drive Club, a little bit of Heaven's Ward. But again, a lot less than I would like, just because, particularly for Heaven's Ward, I'm at a point now where gearing up takes more time than I've had, and so my item level is just it's going up at a crawl. But you know, it's fun to play. It's not like it's a boring grind or anything. I just wish I could spend more time doing it. Also hoping to get back into the swing of things of cutting videos for YouTube. I've been away from that for far too long, and it's certainly not, at this point, as though I have nothing to talk about, so we'll see what happens.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there's been plenty of stuff showing up over the past few weeks. So, yeah, definitely a lot of good subject matter that you can cover.
Yeah. Oh, yes. How about you, Brandon?
I started Trails of Cold Steel 2 last night. I finished Trails of Cold Steel on Friday. I got good news and bad news. The good news is that towards the end of that game, they introduced some new elements to the gameplay that are pretty awesome.
know, what I call the Cold Steel 2 demo.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, and then there's some, you know, some parts of the plot reveal themselves that, just kind of come out of left field in a good way. Some identities are revealed for people that you didn't expect. The bad news is, if you thought the cliffhanger at the end of Trails in the Sky was bad,
we were all waiting for you to get to that because it's like, oh dear.
The cliffhanger they have at the end of Trails of Cold Steel is just, oh, it's just nasty. God damn. It is just the biggest gut punch you will ever experience.
I've been evangelizing the Trails series to you guys for years now, but I would also honestly say that you probably picked the exact right time to get into it, because you can just gorge on this stuff and not have a cliffhanger followed by a wait of a year or better.
Yeah.
Or worse of all, one between the two, the first two Trails in the Sky games.
Mm-hmm. So I started the first one. As everybody probably already knows, Trails of Cold Steel 2 is much longer than the first one.
I can't say that.
Really?
Yeah, it's about the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty long, don't get me
wrong. Still pretty long, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It basically starts like a month after the events of the first one, although you don't know that at first. And basically, you know, you're playing Rean, and he is back at his hometown of Ymir. You finally get to meet his parents, and then both his sister and another bracer named Toval that you meet in the first game end up joining your party, and they basically are your party for as far as I've been in the game. Pretty much by the time this game has started, Erebonia has completely descended into full-on civil war. We're talking just, you know, the capital is occupied by the noble faction. Also, Thor's Academy, which was the school that you and your classmates were going to, has been occupied. The reformist faction, which is primarily made up of those in the Imperial Army, are sort of on the run. It starts pretty dark, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Pretty much all of Class 7 is scattered to the four winds, and basically the first 10 hours of this game, I've been told, is basically you getting the group back together.
Yep.
But yeah, that's where I'm at now.
Doesn't that remind you of something?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where it is now. I'm really anticipating the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finally hoping to finally find out the answer of to the question, the eternal question, which is Christ, who's going to die first? I really love the fact that Falcom put that in there. Like, I seriously think they specifically put that in there for their English-speaking players as a little sort of joke towards them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I've been playing. So, Chris, what about you?
So yeah, I'm still playing more Dishonored. My little issue that there wasn't any way to see enemies through walls and such was remedied about 30 minutes later.
Yep.
Nice.
As you essentially get this, the iconic Corvo mask, and then you get hallucinations that where you meet this guy called the Outsider, who marks you, which gives you some, like, supernatural powers, one of which is to see enemies through the walls and see their vision cones. And, so yeah, that makes it a lot better to see what's around you and not be surprised, mostly. So yeah, I got through that bit of tutorial, and also with that you get the blink ability, which lets you sort of warp a good bit ahead of you, above you, wherever you need to go. So in practice, that makes it really easy to get up onto top of buildings or onto really strong air ducts that are on the outside of these buildings that can support a grown man walking along them, just standing on them all day. Yeah, so far I'm still in the first area after it sort of opens up. And there's been a lot to do because there are collectibles, runes, and these bone charms. Bone charms, you can, right now I have the ability to equip 10 of them, and they give, like, they're like perks, just little bonuses. The runes are what you use to upgrade your supernatural abilities. So I upgraded a couple other things. I am blanking on what they are, but one of them is the ability to possess animals. So I possessed a rat as like an alternate way of getting into this building and sort of get me just another way to get in and unlock some doors that I needed to get through. But the potential for that is to get killed and then you die. So what you do in animal form is how you die in real life. That sort of thing. So still playing that, racking up bodies all over the place, trying to get most of them to be just silent knockouts, but a couple of people I'm just sort of fucking up and just have to pull out the sword and stab them through the head. So far so good with that stuff. The other game I've been playing is Steep. They have the beta out this weekend, and I was playing a little bit this morning. And besides it being all tutorial that I've been playing, but that game seems pretty interesting. It's very much an extreme sports game where you can, depending on the activity or whether you just want to, screw around on the mountain, you can snowboard, ski, do the wingsuit stuff, and also just parachute around. And so far I've done activities in all of those except for skiing. I could probably ski instead of snowboard if I wanted to. But they just introduced the trick stuff, which is all pretty simple. A lot of it is hold R2 to prepare for a jump, sort of preload a little bit.
Yeah.
And then the thing that trips me up is you have to jump and then hold the left stick left or right or up and down to flip around or spin, which then the flipping is a little bit weird because it keeps going longer than you think it is.
Yeah.
It's not analog the way you think, so I slam into the back, into the ground more often than not.
So that means if you're like holding the left stick while you're jumping, it doesn't register, but
no.
Yeah, that could be annoying.
It's a bit weird. But it's stuff I would get used to playing beyond the tutorial.
Yeah. Plus a beta, so that could change.
Yeah. And the parachuting stuff is weird. Because you hold down the R2, sort of the same sort of modifier stuff, and you just flip around on that parachute like crazy people. It's supposed to let you like do like quicker turns.
Yeah.
But I also did a flip in a parachute, which is like hang gliding sort of thing. So it's not like a true parachute, but yeah. Just funny seeing like a backflip for style on a parachute. Yeah. It's just crazy. One of the weird things they do is they show you like the G-force when you crash.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this took like a 7.5 Gs I took on that crash. Sure. So I would probably kill him.
Well, 7.5 G, no. Wouldn't kill you. It would mess you depends up pretty bad.
Depends on where you crash, I guess.
Yeah.
If you're just skidding down the mountain, that's probably not a great thing.
Yeah.
And it's weird that you can also just walk. So like there are points where you go to this, the different like hot points for starting different activities. And you can sort of just walk to them instead of trying to be stupid and snowboard up a hill. that sort of stuff. But it doesn't have any sort of jump. So there are times where I'm walking up this little hill and there's rock there. And for whatever reason, he can't walk on rock. I get onto the rock and it's like, can't move. I have to like act like I'm trying to walk downhill to be able to break out of it. It's real weird. So yeah, that game looks like it could be cool. They definitely have some more kinks to work out in the final few weeks. I guess supposed to be launching sometime soon. I'm not sure when. Let me see if Ubisoft has a date yet. I think it's supposed to be out December 2nd, so like 2 weeks from now.
Oof. Kind of a little late to do a beta then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like the second beta they've had.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been open on all three platforms, PC, Xbox One, PS4. I'm playing on PS4. Definitely want to try it out some more. I'll probably play some more tonight. See what happens when I get past all the tutorial stuff.
Yeah.
The wingsuit stuff's weird. You get points for that, but you have to be like close to the ground. So there's times I get a crash, and it says KO. Like, oh, that's
dead now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so that's been pretty much it for me. So how about you, Dan Reb?
It's been a pretty crazy couple of weeks because, as we all know, we've had Dishonored 2, Watch Dogs 2, and Pokemon come out all in like a really short amount of time.
Yeah,
so
all of the things.
Kind of just to that. So a couple weeks ago, I took advantage of Best Buy's buy one, get one 40% off sale, and I picked up Forza Horizon 3 along with Dishonored. And I didn't realize Dishonored 2 would come with the original, which I didn't finish. So I plan on working on that, except I started Watch Dogs 2, which is actually pretty damn good right now, which I was surprised to see considering I hated the first one.
A lot of people hated the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, about 2 hours into the first one, I just couldn't finish it. I mean, it was just, I don't know, it just didn't feel like it had a lot of polish, and it was totally disappointing. This one is insane. I'm not going to say it's the best sandbox game I ever played, but so far it's definitely the most different. The hacking is interesting, the puzzles are actually pretty challenging. The stealth aspect is actually quite difficult. Like, I'm having a hard time, but at the same time, I'm really enjoying it. There's also a bit of bias because I'm from the Bay Area, and the game takes place in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
So I'm spending a whole lot of time just driving to random places, seeing if certain things that I know exist are there. For example, AT&T Park. AT&T Park, the home of the San Francisco Giants, is there, but of course, they're under a different brand.
Yeah.
That's cool. Ubisoft's San Francisco headquarters is there. That's cool. Even Google has their own, sort of parody on there. I forgot what it's called. I think it's like Noodle or Google, whatever the heck it is. But that was pretty hilarious. And it also takes a lot of, real-world cases and parodies them, too. One of the first missions is a take on the Martin Shkreli case. If Brandon had him as an asshole of the week, but he totally deserves to be one. And he's the guy.
We talked about him.
Yeah. Okay.
Who is it?
He's that pharmaceutical asshole.
Oh,
he's the one that bought the Wu-Tang album.
Yeah.
Yeah, that douche.
Yeah. So this
the
game
most
has
punchable face in the universe.
If you guys remember, there was a story where I guess he was in talks with Wu-Tang Clan about buying an album or something for whatever $1 million, yeah. And you know, just having it for himself and not sharing it with anybody. So mm-hmm. in Watch Dogs, they have their own version where the same thing happened. It's not Wu-Tang Clan, but yeah. So he buys the album, and then you actually hack and leak it to everybody. And it's fucking awesome. And the fact that you do that in the first hour means I was like, oh my god, what else can they possibly do in this game?
Well, you end up hacking into Ubisoft later on.
Yep.
That happens.
Does it happen? I don't even know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, supposedly there's like a supposedly a trailer for something in there that
oh my god, I'm excited.
Leak, yeah.
Yeah. Whether or not it's actually for something has been up for debate.
Okay.
Cool, I think their people are shit talking previous leaks. Just while the hacker's right nearby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm totally enjoying the hell out of Watch Dogs 2. It seems to make the same leap that, I guess, Assassin's Creed made from Assassin's Creed 1 to Assassin's Creed 2. Because I found that game totally unplayable as well, so there's that. And then also a few days ago, the new Pokemon came out. And as enjoyable as it is, I mean, it's getting like good reviews everywhere, but the first hour or so is full-on tutorial, and I absolutely hate that you can't skip any of it. I mean, Pokemon is a game that's been out for almost 25 years, and we're still being taught how to play it, so I don't understand that. I mean,
that seems to be like Nintendo policy.
It's a Nintendo thing, but I remember, like, I forget if there's even the case, but you can skip tutorials sometimes. I'm just glad that it doesn't pull off that Zelda thing by saying, oh, do you want to hear what I said again? Like, no. I'm glad that. So, yeah.
I've heard like the biggest things they added to that are stuff for new people, so to not let anybody that doesn't need that skip it. Seems like a weird thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I get that they're trying to cater to new audiences, but you look at Pokemon Go. When we first downloaded that game, we didn't know what we were doing. We just figured it out ourselves.
Yeah,
and yeah, it became the success that it was, and I don't know. But I am enjoying what I'm playing. I just hate being, you know, taught how to do something that I already know how to do. Mm. Other than that, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
Cool. All right, so, yeah, we got, one notable release this week. Yeah, there's some big stuff coming out, but the only thing relevant to us is Samurai Showdown 6, PS2 Classic coming out on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of funny how this one came together, isn't it?
Yeah, they leaked the trophy list for Garo, and then they, like, switched this one out. That's just kind of annoying. And, well, you know Garo is going to be coming out sooner or later. So,
oh, yeah.
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 If the trophy list is out now, it won't be long.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So, just based on how it was with King of Fighters 2000 and Last Blade 2.
Yeah.
But for those who don't know what this one is, it was only previously called Samurai Showdown 6 as part of the Samurai Showdown collection for the PS2 back in the day.
Yeah,
and PSP.
I played it.
It's actually the arcade game Tenkaichi Kenkakuden, which only saw release in arcades in Japan, but made quite a bit of noise while it was there. And developed a bit of a following to that end. It was during the era when SNK had moved on from the Neo Geo hardware and was experimenting with the Sammy Atomos waveboard.
Yeah,
some pretty interesting games came out of that phase, and this is definitely one of them. So, if you enjoy your tactical fighting games or Samurai Showdown in particular, and you want to experience a rather peculiar time for the franchise without resorting to actually playing Sen, then absolutely check this one out because it's pretty good.
Yeah,
there's plenty of content to enjoy.
Yeah, it's going to be out Tuesday. It is a PS2 classic, so should be about $10 probably.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. SNK's previous one was 20, so that was the Metal Slug collection.
Oh yeah.
So maybe that'll be that. 10 or 15 here.
Yeah. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. So first up, we got to talk about the Game Awards, which is going to be happening December 1st. Yeah, the nominees have been posted, and it's pretty much what you'd expect, with a couple of exceptions.
Yeah, going over this list, I can kind of go through every category and pick what should win, pick what will win, and seldom the two match.
Yeah. It is interesting Rumble. To see a lot of Firewatch nominations. There's Inside is nominated on almost every category, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, Uncharted 4 has 8 of the nominations. Overwatch, Inside, and Firewatch have 5.
Yeah. Yeah, well, some of the categories strike me a little strangely, like Trending Gamer.
Yeah, those are the ones they've had for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Greg Miller won last year.
Yeah.
After his survival of cancer and all that.
Yeah.
And this year, it's probably the big one is Danny O'Dwyer, who just went on his own for his no clip video documentary stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Really.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he wins that. Hmm. So the worst thing is when you go to the actual site to potentially vote for stuff, it's all done through Twitter, which I don't like. You do like an auto tweet like, I think Danny O'Dwyer should win Trending Gamer.
And just spam the shit out of it.
The Game Awards, then like, and it includes the at Danny O'Dwyer, at the Game Awards, like all that. It's like, man, I hate to be any of these individual people that just get spammed with this crap all day.
Yeah.
And the other thing is for some of these ones that are fan voted, like esports player or team or all that, there's no video or explanation of why they're there.
Yeah.
Like, why is this esports player on this list? Did they win a bunch of stuff? Who knows?
No, they just expect the people who are voting to know. So,
and it's like,
yeah,
I should vote for the Street Fighter V player, the Smash player. I don't know.
That's how fuck all these people look at it too.
Yeah.
But they also have like best fan creation, which is a cool thing.
Yeah, and two of them don't exist anymore.
Yeah, Brutal Doom, Project A2MR, Pokemon Uranium, and Enderal, the Shards of Order. I don't know who that one is.
Yeah.
Also, most anticipated games got an interesting categories. God of War, Horizon, Mass Effect, Red Dead Redemption 2, and Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Pretty sure Zelda's going to win that one.
Maybe.
Maybe. You never know. Especially with Red on there.
Yeah.
See, on the best fan creation, how much of a glorious fuck you would it be to Nintendo if Project AM2R won?
Oh, it would be.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
The best fan creation that you can't play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to see if...
Well, your odds are 50-50.
See what they actually have there.
Yeah, like I said, the odds are 50-50 of that actually happening, because two of the nominations you can't get.
Yeah. Oh, they don't even have those on there anymore. Just says Brutal Doom and Enderal.
Oh, somebody at Nintendo must have. Yeah,
caught wind of it.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
That's even worse.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder if that means we're going to see a couple of other projects pop up on the list.
Yeah.
Mm. Sonic Utopia would be a really good one to see.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is Nintendo going to be there?
Huh. They got a couple games on there, I think.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, it would be weird, like, you know, if something like Pokemon Uranium wins and they're actually there, it's like, you know, what do they do?
I think they would give it to the people that actually made it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, what would Nintendo do? It's like,
it would just be
like,
really awkward.
To that guy.
Yeah.
Just like if they get, when they give Hideo Kojima his Game Industry Icon Award after getting stoned on that last year.
I can't wait to see that.
Konami
they would have to put the camera on them just to see.
Just to see how they react.
Yeah, on this little article on their site, Jeff Keighley says, when we started work on this year's Game Awards, my first priority is make sure we honor him properly in front of his peers and fans.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Game Awards. December 1st, it's going to be streamed all over the place.
Yep.
You'll just have streams leaking everywhere.
Yep. So,
good. Check that out. Okay, Watch Dogs. Danrev, you've been playing it quite a bit past week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You did not run into the vagina.
No.
So, yeah, apparently that's something that can happen, and Ubisoft is going to be patching that out.
Not even a big deal.
It shouldn't be a big deal, but apparently, yeah, so the person who found this...
I'm sure the ESRB thinks it's a big deal because they didn't catch it.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the case of a modeler who got this in without anybody noticing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got a little too ambitious there, and
Oh no! I mean, to me, it's like, you know, seeing cartoons with people without nipples. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, especially if the only way you can really see it is if you have to kill a woman.
Yeah.
Then look up her crotch.
So I think that's, you know, kind of reprehensible in his own way, but you know. So the person who did find this, Goron 2000, was banned from PSN.
Okay.
Because Sony apparently...
In keeping with Sony's policy of shooting the messenger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although there was an update to this story, and apparently he has been reinstated.
Yeah.
Good.
Sony didn't admit fault or anything like that, just his account works now again.
Yeah.
Because, Sony sometimes really, really frustrates me.
Uh-huh.
They've got these sharing features in there, and now they have to live with the consequences of said sharing features.
Yeah,
but I don't know. You have to be necessarily just let nudity run rampant because that appears in some games, or people use the web browser.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Same way.
Yeah,
like I've seen hentai communities on PSN.
Yeah, there's plenty of those.
Yep.
Well, you're not going to be around very long.
Yeah. Yeah. The more disconcerting part of it for me is he posted this as a demonstration of like something that's there, and Sony of course goes, "Oh, that's against the terms of service," and you go away now. So
yeah, just save that to a thumb drive and take it out of the whole PSN equation.
In a way I can kind of see their point, but still, it's never good when you shoot the messenger, because you just end up looking bad.
Yeah.
Especially when Ubisoft acknowledges that that's there, and it's like, oh, that shouldn't have been there. So, joy.
It's probably only two people that knew that was there.
Yeah.
The person who made it and the person who found it.
Mm-hmm. Now everybody does.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of women dying.
The good thing is that, you know, the technology is now, Ubisoft can just go ahead and patch it in. You know, this isn't like, hot coffee, where they basically had to retroactive.
It's out in the wild.
Which technically wasn't even in the game to begin with.
Yeah.
No.
You had to hack it out. So you could have people in clothes banging each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, societal implications here is the fact that, America is uncomfortable with sex in media and the rest of the world is not.
You can have all the gunfire.
Somebody getting chain gun to ribbons, but. Is no big deal, but
yeah.
I mean, you can basically have all the guns and blood and cursing you want, and at worst, you might get a PG-13 rating.
Yeah,
but then someone shows a nipple, and then holy shit!
Fire.
Yeah,
and if it ends up doing that with two dudes kissing, then you've got an NC-17 rating.
Yeah.
So we've had dong and boobs before.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a whole game now that's about dongs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
America.
Well, I mean, there's this, and there's the Heavy Rain sex scene, so...
Yeah.
You want...
Yeah. So, moving on. The Zen Studios still supporting Zen Pinball 2. Doing a Bethesda pack now. This actually looks pretty cool. Fallout, Doom, and Skyrim pinball tables.
December 6th.
December 6th, probably about $10. Yeah, that'll get me to play Zen Pinball again.
Yeah, it's nice to see them branching out from the Disney stuff that they were in for a while.
Yeah, well, it did all the Marvel stuff, the Star Wars stuff, which is all Disney, of course.
Yeah.
They did
that before Disney was involved.
Yeah.
Disney bought all of them. Like, well, that makes it simpler.
Yeah.
But there's the pinball. Are there mods?
And hopefully they won't crash every three minutes.
So. Mm. I was just going to say the ball would randomly fly out the side of the machine.
So, look forward to that. I'm going to pick this one up, I think. I had a look at the Stern Pinball Arcade, and that's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's just some of the prices are a little bit questionable, but, yeah, given the state that some of those tables are really, really, like, heavy on licensing, like that AC/DC, I can kind of understand.
Yep.
So.
Wasn't there a Journey pinball table, or is that just an arcade game?
That's just an arcade game.
Okay. That one had, like, a specific, like, Journey tape in there.
Yeah,
it did.
Yep.
That game was just weird.
Yeah, it was strange. It had, like, black and white digitized faces of the band members, and it had a tape loop of an edited version of Separate Ways, Worlds Apart. It was a weird game, but kind of fun. Some people don't like it, but I'm a fan of it because Journey. So there.
You get to pilot that, that weird sort of scarab beetle spaceship thing.
Yeah. What's not to like? Yeah. So, I don't know if you guys are fans of the Dead Rising series.
They're fun.
They're enjoyable.
Yeah.
Well, when word's coming around that while Dead Rising 2 is going to offer co-op, it's going to be Infinity
Four.
Mode.
Yeah. Four. Yeah, four.
Yeah. Dead Rising 3? Is that what I just said? No.
It's two.
Wow, I'm way behind.
Yeah.
So Dead Rising 4 will have a kind of a horde-based Infinity Mode co-op, which is about, it's going to be the replacement for, campaign co-op, which would have been ideal. But they're choosing not to do that, which is strange.
Yeah, they're focusing on the story, which is a weird thing to do in a Dead Rising game.
Yeah, because the story in Dead Rising games are typically bananas.
And having B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
And having multiple people's probably going to add to that.
And this game looks, I don't know. I think the whole Dead Rising thing has kind of run its course, if you ask me. So, I don't know. I don't really have too high hopes for this one.
Yeah, they haven't been doing much marketing for it either.
No.
So the first thing I've heard about it in a couple months.
Dead Rising 4, it's a thing. You can play it with two players. Enjoy. So bad news, guys. Persona 5 being delayed till April 4th in North America.
No! Okay.
On the upside, you'll be able to get the Japanese voice acting for free. So, that's a
That's good.
Yay!
And that was probably expensive, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it will default to the English VO, and if you prefer the Japanese, you can just grab that. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, it'll be DLC.
Yeah. This is not the first time they've done this, though.
That's pretty common for Japanese games.
Yeah, I seem to remember them, Atlus doing this with some other games. I'm not sure what. I think Catherine, maybe?
Possibly.
Yeah. I think with Catherine, it was just packaged in. I don't see why it's DLC, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, you've got plenty of room on the...
It's just voiceover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
probably depends
it had to do
on
with
when
licensing.
They're going to lock down the content versus getting that in.
Maybe. So. Oh, well. You won't get your high school strangeness fix until the month of April. Another 2 month delay. But the reason for it, of course, is QA and localization. So I'm guessing they don't want a repeat of the SMT incident that they had before.
Yeah.
So
and they're supposed to be adding more vocalized stuff in here.
Yeah.
So I get more of the lines with VO and have it all voiced as much as possible.
Yeah.
And supposedly the big special edition's also getting some increased soundtrack songs. They're adding more to that.
More acid jazz.
And and they finally showed off the box art for the special edition steelbook.
Yeah.
And the art book, all that stuff. So that looks real good.
Nice.
Yeah. So
as well as they showed a bunch of gameplay.
Yeah.
The demo's going to be at PSX.
Yeah. I don't mind them delaying a game if it's to make it better. So, yeah.
And they're honest about it, too. Yeah. So, and they did it, and they did this months ahead of time instead of, you know, us
waiting
getting around.
A week ahead.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Pat, Brandon, I don't know about Chris and Dan, right? But you guys getting it?
I got the special edition pre-ordered.
So. Yeah, it's already pre-ordered. Okay. So I guess that changed my February to April, and I'm good.
Yeah, Persona is one of a few franchises that I will get day one.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep.
And limited editions all around, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just getting the regular.
Okay.
I have to be careful. I can't afford the all the limited editions I want. So.
Yeah. Well, Atlas knows how to make them. So.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Yeah, this one comes with the Morgana plush, little cat dude, and a school bag to put all your crap in.
Of course.
Plus with Gamers Club Unlocked, that makes it almost just $60.
Yeah.
Yep.
Does take a good chunk off the price.
Yep.
So, okay, a while back we saw Super Mario Run show up at the Apple keynote.
Yep.
It's coming out for iOS the 15th of December. It's going to be a demo. They announced the price is going to be $9.99. And, of course, the internet reacted exactly as you would expect them to.
No.
Oh, why is paying $10 for a game that doesn't ask you to pay any more money a problem these days?
Because that's what mobile gaming is. It's either free or fuck you.
Oh, it's exactly. A one-time cost?
Yeah.
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 Huh.
It's free to start, so you get to play it, then decide if you want more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a one-time cost. That might not be so bad.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's not an infinite runner, unlike what a lot of people think it is.
No.
So, yeah.
The Nintendo's Twitter has been having a lot of good tweets of Mario practicing his running.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with, like, this shitty fan art looking thing.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
there's
take a look.
There's the art.
Yeah, I gotta look at this.
So how well do you think this game is gonna do?
Oh, it is going to sell so much.
Yeah, Nintendo will ship money. This is,
yeah.
I mean, I actually work in the mobile gaming industry, and like some of us were raising our eyebrows at the price. So I actually didn't know that it was a one-time price. So that's a good idea. Yeah. I mean,
that
all the games
to be
I work
front
for
center in their messaging on this
play.
Too.
Yeah, because I mean, mobile gaming, like at least over 60% of it is freaking freemium hidden charges shit.
Yeah.
So.
Transactions.
Yeah.
It's high maker money.
Yeah, this they're treating like basically a Nintendo game, but with a shareware component. Basically, you download it. You can play a few levels. I think it's, what did they say, 3 levels? And then, yeah, if you like it, you can up for $10 and have the whole game.
Yeah, so, good enough for me.
Yeah.
The only thing I hate is iTunes has no web presence. It's like anytime it's like, oh, go preload it. It's like, and it says, go download iTunes. Like, fuck you.
Yeah, iTunes is the worst.
They're real ass backwards over there, Apple. They realize people want to do stuff on the internet, not apps as much.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, don't get me started on Apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyways, Brandon, you want to talk a little bit about this next one? Because I know you're really looking forward to The Last Guardian.
Yeah, so Fumito Ueda, the sort of head auteur, although he's sort of working on a freelance basis now, of the Team Eco people, basically had a, you know, the game itself, we're now 2 weeks away from its release. It releases on December 4th on a Sunday.
It's coming out now. It really is.
Long since gone gold.
Yeah.
And so basically, the PlayStation blog, they had sort of a Q&A with him about, you know, how are you, you know, how does it feel? What was it like working on this thing for so long? And basically he's sort of, well, there's two things. The first thing is like, as is, traditional with Ueda, when it comes to specifics, he's notoriously cagey. Because that's just kind of how he is. He's always, whenever you try to ask like real specifics about any game he's working on, he just sort of smiles and sort of coyly just
doesn't really,
he's like,
say anything.
Maybe? Or is it? You know. But basically they asked him, like, for example, they asked him on realizing the full initial vision for The Last Guardian. Basically, he was completely honest. He said, I'm going to be a little hard on myself here, but to say I've done everything 100% is not completely true. As a creator, there's always a little more you feel you could have done. When I finished Eco and Shadow of the Colossus, which, for the record, were both amazing games, he says, I felt exactly the same way. Having said that, I think the staff from Sony and Gen Design has put everything, every ounce of energy we had, and poured it into the project. Yeah, no kidding. So let's see what else. On comparisons to Eco and Shadow of the Colossus, here we go again. This is what I was talking about. The way I see it, maybe they are from the same world or the same universe, but anything further than that is really up to the player's imagination. Everyone has a different level of relationship with the two previous titles, so we wouldn't dictate that it is or it isn't. It's up to the player. Which, by the way, that translates to, yeah, they are related, but you're going to have to find out how. And you're probably going to have to work at it, too.
Yeah.
Because, to find out how Shadow of Colossus was related to Eco, it took some effort.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, the ending, but also, you know, you had to roam around that entire gigantic area, and occasionally you would find, like, for example, the beach from Eco is actually accessible there. Let's see. On his proudest accomplishment with The Last Guardian, I would have to say that it's what we were able to accomplish with the character of Trico. Trico, for those of you who don't know, is the big fluffy wuffy who is definitely not going to die at the end of the game. its behavior, everything about it. We were basically breathing life into a creature that has never been created, a new character, which is very difficult. How does it feel to actually feed Trico? I want players to experience what that feels like. And this, what he has to say on the long-anticipated launch of the game, it's quite simple. At the end of playing through the game, if the player feels the existence of Trico like it's really there, then we have accomplished what we set out to do. As usual, this is pretty much par for the course for Ueda, but he definitely feels like he's proud of what he's done.
Yeah, like I said, Virtual Fighter is a big inspiration for him as far as the the intricacies of the animation.
Yeah. Which, if you've seen, the trailers and the previews and stuff, not just the main character you play, but also Trico himself. It's hard to describe, but he really does look like an animal that could actually exist.
Yeah.
Like, he moves and he reacts like an actual animal, which is one of the things people have often talked about is that, especially folks who've played the demo, is that at first, Trico, he kind of has a mind of his own. He won't automatically react to any commands that you give him. You kind of have to take your time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he is a creature that has just met you and he isn't really sure how to react to you. There are even times where people have said where you would call him and he would just sit there and then just, like an actual puppy or anything, he'll just get up and walk in the other direction.
Oh, great.
But, yeah, so... yeah, I've been anticipating this game for years, and I'm glad it's finally coming out.
2 weeks from today.
Yeah, and I will be getting it day one, and I will be writing my review for Smash Pad.
Awesome.
Cool. My second one I've ever done.
Yeah.
And you will all get to read it.
Yeah. Cool.
Just going to make sure you read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to... Talk about it probably on day zero update. I'm probably going to talk about it on Let's Weekend.
Yeah. So, good stuff. Okay, so we got some KOF news. Nothing really too substantial apart from past December, we're going to be getting DLC costumes every month. So,
yeah. That's it. Seems to be the nature of the DLC structure that they've got on tap. No big surprise. I think most people had written off the possibility of actual characters being added in shortly after launch.
Yeah.
Mm. Even though there were some pretty ambitious rumors to that effect leading up to launch.
You've already got a roster of 50. I mean, that's not enough.
You know, what do you want? But yeah, this follows up on the upcoming Chinese launch of the game, which will have the original Iori Yagami costume. So that will be
DLC.
Yeah, that will be coming in December, and then from there on, we're going to be getting one a month, at least according to the translation there.
Yeah.
But
price has been set.
Been pretty solidly reliable. Well, they've been $2 so far, so...
Okay, that's not so bad.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so look forward to that. What else have we got? Oh, yeah. I'm glad that we got this on here. Virtua Fighter 1 data miners.
Yeah, they went through all the data trying to find, like, will we find anything new and interesting, and... Heck yeah, they definitely did. Yeah.
Seba was, in fact, in the game code.
Yeah. Granted, he's not anything like he was in Fighters Mega Mix. He doesn't have a sword or anything. But yeah, that always confused me as hell when I saw that game as a kid. Because a lot of people know, although Seba isn't in the game, he is on the arcade cabinet.
Yep. Well, he was intended to be the main character.
Yeah.
And that's confusing as hell. But here's the thing about this people also found out. They found a completely new character in the game that was never used.
Technically two of them.
Yeah. The other character, I don't think he got an official name. But basically he was a camouflage sort of army clad dude.
Yeah.
Who is, I guess,
they named
a grappler?
Him Jeff, and that's what the data points to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though he is a human character through and through, clearly his costume was repurposed apparently by Virtua Fighter 1 staff that went on to work on the Tekken series as P-Jack. But yeah, this is particularly interesting because so there was so much turnover into the Tekken 1, Tekken 2 teams from the first Virtua Fighter game. Then should we talk about the what people are calling an Akira alt? But it's clearly an early version of Jin Kazama.
Yeah.
Ah.
There is no other way to explain it. The hair's a little bit different because obviously the whole Mishima family thing hadn't happened yet at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the face is exactly quite in line with what ended up in Tekken 3, but they are still very Jin.
Mm.
And it's really interesting to see this because it's a it just offers some interesting insight as to the early days of 3D fighting games.
Yeah.
And how different things might have been.
Yeah. Mm. I'm just wondering who pointed them out. Because why would anybody go back to look at VF1? Unless somebody specifically said, you know, you might want to have a peek in there. You might find something interesting.
Well, maybe it's just that thing about, you know, Cebu being on the cabinet.
Yeah.
Just people are like, man, is he still in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, that's the thing about a lot of these old games is, you know, because of the way, you know, game development works, they tend to leave a lot of stuff sort of buried in the code.
Probably also helps that there hasn't been a Virtual Fighter in a long time, so those fans have a lot to screw around with while they wait for something to happen.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I'm back.
All right. Well, and you're just in time, too, because we were just going to talk about Sega's rather interesting survey that relates to VF in some way.
Nice.
Yeah. So Sega of Japan earlier this week put up a consumer survey asking more or less three questions overall, and that is what Sega franchise or brand are you most invested in?
Mm-hmm.
What Sega character off of a fairly short list, comparatively speaking, what Sega character is your favorite, and perhaps most tellingly, which Sega brand would you most like to see resurrected?
Yeah.
Mm. So what was the number one?
Sakura Taisen stole the show as both the most invested and most wanted revival.
Yeah, now that's that one's I would say that would be a surprise, but you know, anybody who played this old Sakura Taisen, by the way, is Sakura Wars. For those who don't know,
yeah,
it's had one or two appearances over here. Probably better known as an anime franchise.
Yeah, but it started as a
game franchise.
Yeah. So that looks like of all the people, that's the one they most want to come back.
Yeah.
And
I would be okay. What?
I'm okay with it. Just some of the names that it beat out leave me a little salty.
Yeah. I will say, if they do bring it back, they're going to have to get OG Hiroi back to work on it, because he's the original creator, and you know, he needs to be there at least in a production facet. So,
Now, was he there for the one that we got on the PS2? And
he was one for all of them. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it may have been an executive producer credit, but yeah, he was there.
Okay.
But yeah, he's one of those dudes, his vision is so essential to the franchise that he has to be there in some capacity.
Yeah.
Okay. Other notables, Virtua Fighter is the fourth most invested franchise on the list and the fifth most wanted revival.
No surprise there. Virtua Fighter in Japan, at least, is an institution.
Yes. It's kind of been replaced by Tekken at the moment, but that's just due to inactivity.
Yeah, once Virtua Fighter gets back on the scene, you will see that flip very quickly.
Yeah, all Sega has to do is simply announce Virtua Fighter 6.
I mean, the game, there hasn't been a game for a long time, but, you know, the merchandise and shit still sells like crazy over there.
Yeah.
Hell, just go to one of Sega's famous, little ball toy thing machines.
Club
and,
Sega?
Yeah.
And you'll find little, Virtua Fighter figures still in them.
Yeah.
So
Jet Set Radio is the fifth most invested, but
yes.
The second most wanted Revival.
Yes.
I can kind of see why.
Yeah.
That was a really good, very unique game that, it only got two games, so.
Yeah, but that first game in particular was just a freaking amazing.
Yeah.
And it showed us just, not just the, it that was pretty much, wasn't that more or less like the first cel-shaded game? Yeah, it was like one of the first major cel-shaded games. So obviously the art style at least was a big eye popper, but also, and this is really important, it revealed a lot of amazing music that I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
It has probably one of the greatest soundtracks of any game ever created.
Yeah.
And it's not just hip hop either. I mean, we're talking, trap and rave and old school hip hop and, electronica, just all the great stuff.
Yeah.
But and it very much fit the Dreamcast vibe at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was very edgy. It was very trendy. It's a shame that it didn't catch on too much. The sequel ended up on the original Xbox.
That's where it died.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well.
Which is a shame because the sequel was pretty good, too.
Yeah. The sequel was really good. It was simplified in a lot of ways. You didn't have to do the whole, stick drawing for the graffiti. You just kind of shot him up. But, still played really well.
None of those Xbox Sega games seem to have come back from the dead from those platforms.
Yeah.
Oh, man. What I would give for another Panzer Dragoon Orta.
Yeah.
Which, speaking of which, we'll talk about that later, but are we going to pause and wait until Pat gets back?
Nah, we'll wait for him to come back. We'll just keep going. I'll just take over from here.
Okay.
So what we didn't see was Outrun. Didn't show up on the list.
Nope.
Yeah, Pat's comment is, you all suck, and I kind of agree with him.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what an Outrun on these consoles could do.
Yeah.
What it would be, since obviously it can't be the arcade, sort of hardcore arcade game that it was.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Although with what we're seeing as far as arcade racing revivals, maybe, we'll wait and see. Characters that, yeah, thanks for that. So the top three characters ended up being Sanshiro.
Segata Sanshiro, Segata Sanshiro.
Yeah.
Sega Satan.
Kazuma Kiryu, and of course Yohazuki, which we'll see again in Shenmue 3 whenever the hell that game comes out.
Yep.
Or possibly the Shenmue 1 and 2 remasters. Just saying.
Yeah, those long-rumored remasters that
are
definitely not going to happen the way that originally was said to be.
No. Mm-hmm. But, people do other franchises that people want are Virtual On. I can kind of agree with that. That was a game that we need more of.
Yeah, that game never got the love it needed.
Yeah.
It was a robot fighter. I mean, for God's sakes.
Giant robots beating the crap out of each other. How could you not like this?
Yeah, what's wrong with you, America?
Yeah. So, here's that. Panzer Dragoon is also a game that people
That one was an obvious one.
Yeah. Well, we all want that one back. This third one here, Shining Forest, is near and dear to my heart, and I want a proper Shining Force back. God damn it. This could have been Sega's answer to Fire Emblem if they had taken it seriously.
They didn't.
God damn it.
Well, it's a new Sega, so... Yeah. You know, and if this survey is any indication, they're taking this shit seriously.
Yeah.
It's a new Sega. It's a new day. Yeah. Sega is... it feels like now Sega is no longer the punching bag of the industry anymore.
Yeah.
People are actually taking them seriously now. All the old... You know, the swamp has been drained, I guess.
Yeah, well,
they're making Sega great again.
Oh.
It's gonna be huge.
It's gonna be huge.
Build the wall. I don't know.
No, apparently they're not built. That's for last weekend. Anyway.
Yeah.
apparently Danrep has one that he'd like to see.
Yeah.
Back.
Togi needs to be brought back, Sega.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
You bastards.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see how they do with this. Apparently their fans have spoken, so let's see if they actually listen, unlike some other companies.
Konami. Sorry, I had something in my throat.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we talked a little bit about... Yeah, we talked about this. Daytona 3 Championship USA Arcade Revival coming to arcades in Japan to begin with.
And probably eventually a Dave & Buster's near you.
Yeah, because I'm sure that will get a worldwide release.
And we'll make tons of cash.
Yeah. So they've shown trailers now, and some folks have shown some actual gameplay. And, it looks like Daytona. It really, really does. Looks better. Obviously, with the new hardware that we've got, you'd kind of expect that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're just using the original soundtrack as placeholder.
Mm.
And I have no problem with that staying that way.
Nope.
Just saying. Yeah. So, yeah. Daytona USA coming back. But don't expect it to come home, because that ain't happening.
No.
Yeah. Boo.
That sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know. Yeah.
How bad did it suck? Do we still have the episode?
Oh yeah, we're still here. We're still recording. We're about to get into Cruisin' Blast.
Well, first, I on the subject of Daytona 3, I just wanted to say. Those 360s toward the end of the trailer. That's not a Daytona thing.
It is now, apparently.
Did they hire? It's awesome.
Yeah. So, that is happening. What else have we got? Oh, yeah. Like I said, Cruisin' Blast also showed some gameplay footage.
Yep.
It's looking very cruisin'. I'll just point that out. Sense of humor seems to be there. If you, like, plow into a cow, stakes fly all over the place. Just because.
I'm just happy with all of the footage that we're getting of these games in general.
Yeah.
The YouTube channel.
Boy, that's internet.
Not having
hates
a good
us day. Today. Yeah. Well, we'll have to soldier on, as they say.
Yep.
But yeah, other than
Cruisin' Blast, I'm happy it's not me this time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, what can we say here? Oh, yeah. So, along with that, Nintendo did renew the trademark for Wave Race.
Mm.
But that's the European trademark, so I don't know if that's going to happen over here as well, but hopefully. Because I would really like another Wave Race.
Just so saying. Somebody who left us.
Yeah, so would Pat.
Yeah.
he can't talk about it right now because the internet hates him. So, yeah. What else?
Yeah, he wants it as badly as his internet doesn't want him to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So other than the Wave Race trademark, Nintendo has been in the news lately.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pokemon Sun and Moon, they did get leaked. Nintendo responded to the leak by banning a bunch of accounts who were playing the pirated version.
And there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth.
Why?
Because it's the internet. That's
they were
why.
Dumb enough to go online with their pirated copies before it was
exactly.
released.
Exactly.
Really?
I broke the law. What do you mean I can't play anymore?
I can't. Yeah. This is the world we live in. This a world of entitled idiots. I'm
stupid.
I don't understand.
I illegally acquired your game. I should be allowed to play it.
Yeah.
If you stayed offline, you would have been able to play it just fine.
Yeah. Or if you had waited a few days and bought it, then you wouldn't have had any problems. Moron.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't see it in our notes, but the really big thing to come out of this is the fact that some of these people who got their 3DSs bricked sold them back to GameStop, and GameStop has been selling those units to users who don't know that they've been bricked. So that's fucked up.
I'm not surprised.
Bricked,
yeah.
Because
yeah,
Nintendo
GameStop
doesn't have account bans, they have hardware bans.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, then again, that's GameStop's how Microsoft part. Did it for the longest time, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Well, at least for those people who got them bricked, you can buy a 3DS for $100 on Black Friday.
Yeah. You know. And then buy Pokemon Sun or Moon properly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we'll wrap up the show with a couple of more Pokemon stories. The Switch version of Pokemon that's been rumored apparently is kind of what we really like it to be.
Yeah.
So, a traditional Pokemon game on a handheld / console.
Now they have no choice.
Yeah, it's kind of they've never done a proper Pokemon game on a console, have they?
Not really.
The closest we've gotten is like Pokemon Stadium for the N64.
There's like one on a GameCube that was similar.
There was XD Gale of Darkness, but that was.
People don't talk
about those games anymore.
We also had, you know, Pokemon Snap, and I think recently we had Pokken Tournament.
Yeah,
which kind of bombed.
You know, proper, actual Pokemon.
Yeah, no
RPGs.
Real proper.
Yeah. So
actually, a lot of Pokemon fans would love to see Snap back. That's a totally missed opportunity on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Pat.
I'm trying.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Well, we're about to get into the leaks of the Nintendo Switch launch details.
Yes.
Which apparently, are a thing. So what do we got?
Obviously, it reflects the Zelda delay that will keep it from appearing on launch, apparently.
Yeah. But what has been revealed so far, apart from Zelda possibly getting delayed?
I'm pulling the list up.
For day one, 3D Mario.
Yeah.
A Mario Rabbids RPG.
That's weird.
Does anyone want that?
A Mario. What?
As long as you give them a Mario RPG,
you know those rabbits.
They don't really care that rabbits are in or whatever.
Yeah.
As long as it's not Paper Mario, like the non-RPG stuff. Splatoon is going to be there. Skyrim.
Skyrim is going to be a launch title. Wow.
Gee.
What?
And surprise, surprise! Just Dance 2017.
How'd that even work?
The Joy-Cons, I guess.
Some tablets.
God.
So this is suggesting those things are pretty much Wii remotes.
Yeah.
Just Dance doesn't really care about anything anyway.
Yeah.
Pretty on point about this.
Yeah.
So obviously this pretty much says that, Zelda is going to miss the launch window, but I would act surprised if it weren't for the fact that this is Zelda we're talking about.
Yeah. It might miss it by, maybe it misses it by 6 months.
Has there ever been a Zelda game that's ever been able to come out at the launch?
Twilight Princess did.
Yeah, and look at what we got.
Yeah,
that's because it got delayed from the previous console.
Exactly.
We got to get this ready for something else too.
Yeah. So my point stands.
So if these are credible, and I don't really have any reason not to believe that they wouldn't be.
You gotta wait 2 months to find out if they're credible.
Yeah, wait 2 months to find out. It's a very...
It'll come fast. I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah. Mm. It's a very condensed launch lineup, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, though this is just rumored stuff.
Yeah.
Seems like this person has Nintendo source and an Ubisoft source and Bethesda.
Yeah.
That's largely it.
So...
Yeah. And there's more other stuff on this list. For the first 6 months, there's Smash Brothers, there's Zelda, Telltale, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty.
That was
cool.
One of the stories that we had here for a little bit ago. But Telltale is rumored to be doing a Guardians of the Galaxy, and this seems to continue that.
Yeah,
have it out before the movie for the sequel. Mm-hmm. Mario Kart 8 and Xenoblade Chronicles X ports.
And Chronicles X on the Switch would actually be pretty good because it would kind of give it a bit more power to work with.
So. Yeah, and it also wouldn't have to worry about having to. For one thing, the tablet wouldn't be so freaking large.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and you'd be able to play with a Pro Controller. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then later in 2017, Mario Maker is the other one for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
So getting all these Wii U games out there that they don't want to die with the Wii U.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Imagine that.
And later in 2017 is Pokemon Stars, which is the supposed third Pokemon Sun and Moon game.
Yeah.
And Pikmin 4. But this one's suggesting it's not actually Pikmin 4, but some sort of reboot.
Yeah. It also suggests that it probably won't come out on the Wii U anymore.
Yeah.
Wonder how that works. Wonder why.
And for 2018 is Beyond Good and Evil 2?
Maybe? Question
mark? It says not direct sequel, semi-reboot.
We'll wait 5 years for that.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm sure it will get delayed inevitably.
And I would not be surprised to see Star Fox Zero show back up on there.
Star Fox Zero showing up on a system with controls that would actually make it work properly.
Exactly. That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
If that happened, it would probably sell a lot better.
Yeah.
But then again, that game is also kind of damaged goods, so...
Yeah. I don't know. They could probably get away with re-releasing. It's not like anybody played it to begin with anyway.
So. Burn.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But, yeah. How important is Zelda missing the launch for the system?
It's pretty much expected. I mean, if you're seasoned gamers like us, it's sort of something you expect because, that's just kind of the reputation Zelda has. Also, because they really do, they take Zelda absolutely 100% serious.
Yeah.
Especially when they're trying to do a shake-up like they are with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
But as far as, how does it do for, the regular release? I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether the Switch delay would affect it coming out on the Wii U. Are they still looking at a simultaneous release here? I don't know.
That's what this is suggesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if it's... if it's going to delay the Wii U release as well... it's not like Wii U players have anything else to play, so... That's the problem. That's, you know, Nintendo is kind of in a really weird situation here with the Wii U and the Switch. In one sense, they want to extend the life of the Wii U as far as they can, but they don't want to put any money into it.
Yeah.
So
I mean, when you look at the original release of Twilight Princess, a lot of people would say the GameCube version was the better version.
It was.
Yeah.
Because you could actually play it properly.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but they released it 2 weeks later and then made it in short supply.
Yeah.
Did everything they could to bury it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really kind of messed that one up. But, yeah. To keep in mind, though, like, the GameCube is, well, it's kind of in the same situation that the Wii U is in right now. It was a good console that almost nobody bought. It had some solid games. And the fan base for Nintendo was still there.
Yeah.
Mostly, yeah. Nintendo has done a lot to piss off
their fans. The Wii wishes it was a failure like the GameCube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the GameCube has about twice as many consoles as the Wii U at this point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. If Zelda does slip from the launch lineup, but Mario stays on there, I think they'll be okay.
Yeah.
They have to launch with at least one marquee title. They can't rely on third parties to carry the whole thing. They need a big Nintendo name to get things started with.
If you do have to rely on a third party, Skyrim is a hell of a title to do that with.
As cool as Skyrim is, that's not going to be a reason why I buy a Switch.
No, I wouldn't buy a Switch for a five-year-old game.
But Skyrim is a game that people know and seem to want to rebuy as much as they can.
Yeah. Well, Bethesda will keep releasing it as long as people keep buying it.
Yep.
So, yeah. Two more months, or about a month and a half, really. We'll wait and see what Nintendo actually has to say. All of this could be completely wrong, and Zelda will not miss launch. But you know, just never know. Some companies put disinformation out to figure out who to fire.
Yeah.
So it's possible somebody's getting fired soon.
Yep.
You never know. So, all right. So I guess with that, we can kind of wrap up the chaotic episode of the Day Zero update.
Yep.
For Patrick Mifflin, I'm Filippo D'Anelfo.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Daniel Victoria.
And we'll see you all next week.